Good morning. Great to see everybody as I look around the crowd. We've got a good number this morning, and that stands out because I know how many people are missing because they're sick or they're traveling. But that means we got a lot of visitors. Really glad that you're here with us this morning to be able to worship our God. Good. For those of you who are visiting for the first time, here's what you need to know. We don't have a full-time preacher right now. And I'm not that guy, so it just gets better after this. So you'll want to come back and check that out when we do have a full-time evangelist. I want to start you with a mental and a physical exercise. And it's very heavy on the mental and very light on the physical. So that's good. But I want you to stick out your right arm or your left arm, whichever arm's free, and picture this. Picture that arm loaded with your favorite fruit. Loaded. Anybody, I got any apples in here? Any bananas? I got blueberries right here. I got a lot of blueberries because blueberries are my favorite. Corky likes blueberries. Picture 30 of whatever that is. I know blueberries, that's bunches, so that's not a whole lot of blueberries. 60, maybe 100 coming off of that arm. Okay, that's enough for the physical. You can now shake it off. That's what God wants us when he says to bear much fruit. And this is Mason's little stick man that you may remember from last year. That was a salt and light guy. We don't have a name for him, but we converted him to a bearing fruit guy. That's what the Lord wants of us. That's what the Lord expects from us. He expects us to bear fruit. And so what we're going to be doing this morning is we're going to be looking at verses about bearing fruit. A lot of verses, we're going to be looking at about 15 verses, most of those about bearing good fruit. And you know, that is a metaphor for good actions, right attitudes, right characteristics that God expects us to have. Now, there are other metaphors in the Bible that that God uses to describe that. One, we've got one of commerce. And that's the parable where, you know, a man gives out coins to his servants. And so that's also a metaphor for the same thing. But you know, I'm going to talk about fruit because there's a lot of verses. And that's what the Lord spends a lot of time. That's the metaphor that he uses. So we're going to look at those verses. This is an image that always sticks in my mind because of some of the verses we're going to look at. If you have ever been over to my house and you've looked in my backyard, you've seen a lot of things back there. One of the things that you may see is this stump. This stump used to be a peach tree in my backyard. I got a really brilliant idea about that I was gonna plant peaches. And I don't know if anybody else has made that, tried to do that. I am unsuccessful peach farmer. I'm just going to say that right now. Because you can tell that that's not a peach tree anymore. That was a peach tree. What I did was I planted some, and I planted one right over one of my septic lines. I thought that was a good idea because I thought I'm probably not going to water these peach trees, so at least I'm going to have one peach tree that's got a continual water line. And I know a lot of you who are used to sewage lines go, that's stupid, because that's going to clog those sewage lines. Well, you know, out here there's drain fields, so those are real slow. So I thought, okay, that's not going to be a problem. And so it was a couple of years. That peach tree, it was true. All the other ones I didn't water very much, and so they didn't do anything. And that peach tree shot up, and that peach tree put out a lot of peaches. I was so excited because I'm going to have peaches. And then somebody said to me, you can't eat those peaches. Those are bad peaches. Because all that bacteria that came from that septic line is going to be all up in those peaches, and that's going to be bad fruit. And I don't know if that's true or not. I Googled it, and I saw some places that said yes or no. But here's what you need to know. All you have to do is say to a germaphobe, there might be germs in those peaches. That's all. Those are bad peaches. And I know that I'm risking confessing to you that I'm a germaphobe, because now you come up afterwards, and you're going to cough on your hand, and you're going to stick it out, and you're just going to see. You're going to test my limits there, and I'll still shake your hand, but I'll boil my hand afterwards. I want you to know that. So I went out, and I cut that peach tree down, and I got a burn pile, and eventually that peach tree got burned up, and that is the only remnant of that. So that remember that image, because we'll get to that and that reminds me of some verses we're going to talk about. We're going to look at verses that cover three areas, types of fruit. Bearing good fruit, bearing bad fruit, I just mentioned that, and bearing no fruit. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm going to step forward and go, been in all three categories, been there. So those verses speak to me. Well, I think they speak to all of us. And again, most of the verses are going to be talking about bearing fruit. So we need to remember the weight of the scriptures on this, but also the warnings in some of those other verses as we get into the other fruits. Our theme verse this year, we decided, is we wanted to focus on one of those actionable items of developing character, developing works, developing those things that will come from a heart that is Christ-centered. And so by that, we look at John 15:4 or 15:8, and it says this is to my Father's glory. Some versions may say, this is to my Father's honor. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. One of the words that stands out here is not bear fruit, but bear much fruit. And why? Honors God. Shows that we're disciples. Now, I know a lot of people that are just good by nature. I'm not one of those people, but there are people that are just good by nature, and they'll just do good things. You know, they might be an atheist. They'll do good things, and they'll have good characteristics. But what God is saying is, when he's saying, this is how you're honoring me, it is because it is from a Christ-centered life. And then that flows from that. Wanting to do right things, not just coming up with a list and saying, I guess I need to do these things, but being driven from here for that. In Colossians 1:10, talks about that concept as well. For you may walk worthy of the Lord, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Knowledge of God is key there. How do we know what God wants if we're not aware of his word and his knowledge of God? In James 3:17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and good fruit, impartial and sincere. We get to see some of the characteristics of good fruit here. And, of course, we're also going to go to Galatians 5. And Ken Holiday did two lessons on those characteristics of good fruit. And they include, you know, both doing good things and having good attitudes and having good characteristics. You know, encouragement is one of those. And Bill and Kathy, your mom, she had fruits of encouragement. There's going to be a missing bright spot over here where Sister Billy was. Because when she walked in the room got brighter. The room got more fruitful because of her. People have said that. I've seen comments so far about how appreciative they were. She was an encourager. And that's one of the fruits, the good fruits that the Lord expects us to bear. You know, it's not only the New Testament that uses this metaphor, but there's also Old Testament verses, so it's not unique to the New Testament. In Jeremiah 17:10, God says this. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. And this is verse, John 15:5, talks about this is where it comes from. It doesn't come because we by nature are this way. It comes from our nature changes when we accept to follow our Lord, when we decide we're going to lead a Christ-driven life, that it comes from the heart. And that's where it comes from. And the Lord says this. And in this verse it says, if you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So that tells us this is where it's driven from. It's not driven from saying, oh, I need to go sign up to these organizations because that's really what I'd be doing. Because, well, after all, I'm a Christian. That's That's not where that's driven from. It's driven from in knowledge of His grace and His mercy and His word. And it comes from that. It comes from a knowledge of that. This other verse in Psalms talks about how was the tree able to grow fruit? And this psalm starts off talking about how a man is blessed if he doesn't follow, if he doesn't do things that sinners are doing. And then it continues on and it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree. It's a simile. I learned that from my wife. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in the season. This tree is able to bear fruit because of where it's planted. It is planted over a water source. Its roots are getting nutrients. Now, you might say, okay, well then, trees planted where it's planted. Trees don't walk, and that is true, unless you watch Lord of the Rings, and then you see the scene where those trees walk. But other than that, it's really about, it's the tree's decision what soil is underneath it. It's the tree's decision what it's going to do with that soil. We're going to see that when we look at the parable of the sower. Soil represents the hearts. And you know what? A physical tree outside cannot change the soil that is planted over, but we can change the soil that we're planted over. We can change the heart. So in the parable of the sower, there are four soils. Three of those soils actually produce plants. Only one of those soils produces fruit, produces produce. At the end of that parable, after it talks about throwing the seed and the seed in the different soils, it says, it concludes with this, which is where God expects us to be. It concludes, but others fell on ground and yielded a crop. Some 100, some 60, some 30. God expects a return. And again, this parable is not that hearts are fixed, but hearts need to be ready to be able to accept that seed. And that's how fruits are produced. That's how good works and good characteristics and good attitudes, that's where those come from. There's a fruit that is really sweet to God. This verse in Matthew 3:8 says, "Bear fruits of repentance." This was a case in which John the Baptist, he was out and he was announcing that the Messiah was coming, and he was telling people, he was telling the nation of Israel, the people, get ready for this. He was down by waters where he was baptizing people. It was a baptism of repentance. It was a baptism to get ready and prepare your hearts. And there were all kinds of people that turned out for that. And you know, one thing that amazes me about John the Baptist, he didn't have power of miracles that we know of. And yet, he got a lot of people to come out here. And so, along with some of those people, you know, Pharisees and Sadducees, they came out because, well, that's where everybody's going. I've got to see this guy. What this is all about. Some of them, I'm sure, were getting in line as John and his followers were baptizing people. And John stops and says, wait, not so fast. You're just coming here to get wet. You're not repenting of what you've been doing. He says, here's what you need. He says in Matthew 3:8, he says, bear fruits worthy of repentance. That's a sweet fruit to God, and I think we know that from such parables as the prodigal son. The prodigal son comes back to his father, and he has just pretty much just fallen down and said, "Father, I'm not your son. I'm no longer your son. I cannot bear your name. I cannot own your name. I've dishonored your name. Treat me as one of your servants. But I'm coming back." And you know that parable talks about the father running towards the son. That parable talks about the father giving that son a robe and saying, we are having a party. We are celebrating. Repentance should be celebrated. You know, those of us who know that parable, the son The other son, he was not celebrating. He thought that my brother needs to be shamed about that. And that parable also talks about the attitudes that we should have. If somebody comes and repents, and the Father is celebrating, and all the heavenly hosts are celebrating, who are we not to celebrate that? Fruits of repentance, very sweet to the Lord. I've seen people that, and we can't judge somebody's heart, but I've had close friends that have cheated on their wives. I've known people that have had drug addictions. And here's what I've observed in those people that I think that repentance was sincere. My close friend cheated on his wife, and it much like David, who was confronted with his sin, tore him up. And first and foremost, he wanted to get right with God. And that was his goal. Then he wanted to get right with his wife, and he wanted to get right with his family. And he sought that out. And he owned that. He said, you know, this is my fault and my fault only. I am solely responsible for my sin. If my wife chooses not to take me back, I'm at peace with that. Because I need to get back with God. And, you know, it turns out his wife didn't take him back. He's repairing the damage that he did to his family. But he's right with God. And I saw that in him, because he talked openly about it. You sit next to him on an airplane, 5 minutes, he'd go, let me tell you what I did. Don't make that same mistake. He owned up to it. He gave everybody his Facebook password. He did everything. I mean, that signals a fruit of repentance. We should all have that when we fall short of God's glory. Fruits of the Spirit. And these are what Ken Holliday talked about. And I know you're all thinking he's going to make us recite them. I'm not going to do that because that's what Ken does. And it's up there anyway, so you know. These are characteristics, and they manifest themselves into actions. We decided at the beginning of the year to have some spiritual goals. And on a Wednesday night, we broke up into groups and talked about those. And I listed these, and I said, you know, if you're sitting there wondering where you ought to start, maybe on setting some spiritual goals, if you haven't already, go to this list right here. Take this list and for yourself, list what am I strongest in and what am I weakest in. And when you develop that list, then flip it upside down. Top of the list is where you need to start on that. We broke up and, you know, women were over here, some young people were over here, some of the men were over in that corner. And I'm not going to name any names of the men that were in there, because what happens in groups stays in groups, I think. But it was interesting to me when we all did this mental exercise and wrote them on a piece of paper and talked them in the group. I don't know if every man did it, but it seemed like this. When we listed this group, patience was the top of the list on everybody as it related to their marriage. And I know, here's one I'm not naming names, because several of you wives are going to stand up and go, if that was my husband, he needs a refresher course. My response to that would be, we would be really bad if we weren't working on that. Just think about that. So I just thought that was interesting. And so when you pick something like that, and you pick like patience, I need more patience, and you're thinking about that, you're reminding yourself, this is what I'm weak in, and you're praying about that, that starts to change in here. And then you catch yourself all the time going, I'm being impatient. That's what I'm doing. And when you're working on that and when you're getting better at that, that's growing fruits. Those are fruits that then will become obvious. It'll become obvious to you, become obvious to the other people around you. More importantly, it'll become obvious to God. So, verses on bad fruit. In Galatians 5, it doesn't specifically call these bad fruits, but these are characteristics that are called works of the flesh. And they come right before the verses then that say these are fruits of the Spirit. And so we can call these bad fruits clearly. And as we go through this list, you're going, that, okay, that's not me. But there's some on the list that do, I think, speak to all of us. Bad fruits in Galatians 5, starting in verse 19. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry. And that's not just talking about us falling down in front of stone statues. That's anything that we put first in our life instead of God. Witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Paul, through the Holy Spirit, says this: I warned you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those things should stick with us. And another reason why we need to make sure that if we're not bearing fruit, we work here first. Another scripture talks about bad fruit. Matthew 7:17-19. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That's the tree stump right there. That's what happened to the tree stump. I think about that when I see that tree stump. And no fruit. This is the one that bothers and speaks to me. Been times in my life when there's nothing there. There might be one or two blueberries, and they're not even that good. And I got to stop and think, why is that? Is that because I'm not signing up for enough things? No, that's because it's starting here. This is where I need to work on that to make sure that all those blueberries show up on my arm. Verses to talk about no fruit. And these are, there's two in the New Testament, should all give us pause, as any warnings do. Jesus tells this parable. He says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered, the keeper answered and said, sir, let it alone this year also, till I dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. I think this verse shows us the Lord's got some patience for us non-fruit-bearing people. He's got some patience. And you know what it also tells us? It tells us the Lord's been working in our lives to try to get us into that direction. He's been fertilizing. He's been, you know, putting a berm around us. And He's given us everything that we need to produce that fruit. He's going, it's on you now, tree. You've been given everything that you need. As I count years on this, that's 4 years of patience there. It's a lot of patience for a tree. But I think that gives some encouragement. You can lean on that, but some encouragement, or makes us understand and appreciate God's patience, God's mercy, and God's grace. This next verse has always struck me as harsh. And always gone, whoa. And this is not a parable. This Jesus actually did this. And it was in the morning, and as Jesus returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, let no fruit grow on you again. And immediately the fig tree withered away. Jesus just kill a tree? Yeah, he did. Now that seems pretty harsh. And some people looked at this and said, you know, it speaks to how the Lord feels about hypocrisy. And that might be right, because it says, Jesus saw it from afar, saw leaves on it, looked like it had fruit on it. Went over there, closer inspection, didn't have any fruit. It was a pretty harsh reaction. You know, I think about it, Ananias and Sapphira, who in the early days of the church were like a lot of other people, like Barnabas. They were selling property and they were laying it at the apostles' feet. Hey, I want to look like I'm going to have fruit too. I want to look like I am giving to the church. And so they said, we sold our property. Here's all the money. Turns out they lied about that. And you know what? That was a harsh reaction as well. And perhaps that's what is that verse is telling us, is don't go through the motions and act like it, but have it driven from here and have it be sincere. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That's not just for bad fruit. That's for every tree that doesn't bear good fruit. That is that tree stump that we want to have there to remind us of what we need to do and what we need to get right first in our lives to be able to drive that good fruit. This is to my Father's glory. This honors God, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We want to be able to stick our arm out. We want to be able to have fruit all over it. And the soil's got to be right for that to happen. And the Lord has shown us that he's doing all the work in our lives. But there's a part that's on us. And let's keep that in our minds. It might